sustaining alive, sustaining alive.
Sustaining alive on 95BFM.
Sure is. Welcome, Stephanie, from Sustainable Coastlines.
Hi, how are you?
Kia ora. Welcome. It's a welcome back to BFM. You said you've been here a long time ago.
Oh, yes, in my uni days. It was a good time.
Perfect.
Excellent.
You're not banned or anything?
That's a pretty jazzy little intro you've got there.
Oh, you're welcome. Only the best for sustaining alive.
Did you shudder a little bit?
When that a little sustaining alive. Is that what it was?
We have to jar people into the situation. We're about to, things get meta real quick. Normally these conversations will have Rita saying a few things. John gets a little bit sad. I'll try and lighten the mood a bit, but overall, humans need to do better.
Yeah, well, hopefully I don't make people feel sad today.
It's the nature of... I think it's the guilt. It's the overall guilt that everybody sort of feels. They know they should be doing more, and often we aren't. So.
Yeah, well, I've just finished Plastic Free July, and my biggest outtake was just how positive it was, actually. Mm. I think, you know, humans got ourselves into this situation, and humans are going to be the ones to get ourselves out, and... Often people feel overwhelmed, and you just got to just start doing something.
There was a time before plastic, wasn't it? It was like, the 40s?
Not that long ago, really.
When did plastic kind of come on the scene?
About 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So things were probably pretty sweet back then.
Yeah.
What is it? What is Plastic Free July?
Oh, it's just a movement, really, to start people beginning to think about their habits and consumption. I did it because, well, I work at Sustainable Coastlines and I'm out talking to people about the issues we face with plastic, buildup of plastic in the environment. And I kind of wanted to walk the walk a bit and actually just look at my everyday life and see where I could make some simple changes. I'm not really on Instagram, and I joined Instagram and I posted something every day. And I got an overwhelming response from my network, which was really positive, inspiring people just by telling people. I think people just want to know how they can start, where to start.
Where do you start? Like, what were the key things that you managed to like eliminate from your day-to-day plastic usage?
Some of the big stuff was around toiletries. So Athiq is a really cool New Zealand brand that I started using.
How you say it?
We just ran a campaign with us, actually.
Oh, how did they tell you to pronounce it?
Well, I've never been told us anything. That's the problem, Stephanie.
Wow, that's fancy. It's French for ethics.
Right. So they've just taken beauty, like shampoo and conditioner and even face moisturiser and reduced it into a bar. So that was a good one. I found those worked really well. I've really got into the take your own container thing. I think that's an awesome one.
Most places are open to that as well.
Most places give you a discount.
Lots of them give you a discount.
Yeah. So that's really cool. Even so, Countdown just this week have announced that you can take your own containers in there. So into the deli section, the meat section.
That's good.
So that was a good one. Simple things like cotton buds, you know, those bamboo ones are those, bamboo pegs. I haven't used Glad Wrap for a long time, but beeswax wrappers, obviously take your own coffee cups, reusable drink bottles. I mean, they sound like simple things, but really there are still a lot of people in New Zealand consuming single-use plastic bottles, for an instance.
Yeah.
And as far as things that we pick up off the beach in New Zealand, bottle caps and lids, plastic ones, are the fifth biggest thing that we pick up. They're not, the actual bottles aren't right up the list because the smaller the item, the easier it is to get down drains and find its way to the beach. But it's an indication of the consumption of them.
This is kind of slightly off topic, but I watched a documentary about two young chaps who lived in Norway who went and lived on an isolated beach for 6 months.
This comes back to point, don't worry about it.
And they they spent half the time surfing but half the time picking up rubbish on the beach. And then over the course of 6 months, they picked up 3.5 tons of rubbish which washed up on the beach every day, you know, like over the course of them being there. It's crazy. Small things like bottle caps and that sort of thing.
Anything considered not rubbish? Maybe still in good nick?
Treasure. We find a bit of treasure on the beaches. Money. Lots of shrines.
A body with a wallet in it or something.
You know, like religious shrines and icons and stuff like that.
Yes.
And lots of plastic flowers that have been washed off gravestones and stuff.
Wow, heavy.
Yeah.
Crazy, crazy. Now, we said off here, you were saying off here something about the number of clothes which are produced with actual plastic in them is actually quite high. And this is something that we need to keep in mind, that actually, you know...
Breathing that in.
It's coming off your clothes and ending up in the air and also in the ocean.
Yeah, so 60% of all fabric you are used currently has got plastic in it.
Mm.
So polyester, but, you know, skinny jeans, they're stretchy, there's plastic in there. And so, I mean, one of the things I bought was a washing bag that you can put your clothes in when you put them through the washing machine. Just wash your clothes less.
Wait, what does that do? That stops bits and pieces coming off. And do you have that in the dryer as well, if you dry your clothes? Because I feel like that would fly a lot of stuff around too.
So I've only used it 3 times, right. And I haven't found anything inside it yet.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
After a while,
it's
I
like
think
a
it
filter.
Builds up. And
yeah,
you,
yeah, yeah.
So you know how you get the dust out of your dryer? I reckon it's going to be the same on a fine, the fibres inside the bag.
Yo, it's like a micro. It's right down at the very ingestible level, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And this is what's now ending up in our food chain. So
how much plastic is in the regular human these days? It must be some gross little
amount. Oh, I'm not sure.
That story on air a couple of weeks ago about we drink like 5 grams of plastic a week.
Yum. Cheers.
Yeah. It's not good. But, you know, we got to be positive about it. And
okay.
I think the thing is that you do just have to do something. And lots of people are going, like, I had friends who were overseas when I was doing this and they were in America and they were just laughing at me, kind of, you know, posting my post back in New Zealand as they were just seeing the Americans just hoover the plastic.
Yeah.
Mm.
But I know that those posts that I did influenced at least 30 people I know who then went and talked about it. We refill stations are really cool, so you can take your containers in to refill stations and fill up on your detergent and your, if you're wanting to do shampoo and stuff like that. And we've got one down at Sustainable Coastlines, and 2 people have come down of my mates since then and refilled up some stuff.
Is it?
So, you know.
So like things like Etique, is that how we say that? We
settled Etique, on? Yeah, Etique. You got it.
Is that, should the government kind of be like subsidizing that stuff? Should that stuff become cheaper so people have incentive to do these things?
Yeah, I definitely think there's some lot. I mean, you know, the government's just put in the plastic bag ban. We envisage very soon that they will be putting in a container deposit scheme.
Yeah.
So that you can take bottles back and be returned money on them.
Right. I mean, I guess I'm talking about a government in the sense that, like, how I believe that like fruit and veg should be subsidized as well, because there's obviously an obesity problem. So it's just like, I feel like these things should be incentivized, and then people will.
Yeah, I agree.
Because money drives people, as tragic as it is. You know?
Yeah, and that is definitely one thing I found, that it wasn't extremely cheap.
Yeah,
you know.
There you go. So it should just be cheaper to do this thing.
Yeah.
Going forward, I mean, it does take people to sort of blaze the trail and go, hey, it's doable. Here's all the things I did, which is great, you know. But it just sucks how it's kind of like almost an elitist thing to be able to do it.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that, you know, we need to mobilise people around the world to start doing it, because we all know that governments are run by corporates, and corporates are driven by the consumer. You know, we're saying off here before that, you know, plastic isn't evil, actually. It's single-use plastic. It's
right.
How we're, it's, you know, the convenience of life is how plastic has come to be a problem. And if everyone just takes a little bit more time to consider what they're doing, then we're not doing this kind of take waste society that we're in. I've had to start baking, for God's sakes.
The kids dig it, though.
Oh my God. Now there's some behaviour change.
Now, what else is Sustainable Coastlines up to? You're explaining off here that you are not an organisation that actively lobbies the government. So what do you do?
Yeah, so we're a grassroots organisation, so our mission is to enable other people to help protect the coastlines and waterways. So we do a lot of capacity development and develop frameworks and education. So we do a lot of riparian planting.
What is riparian planting?
So that's planting trees and plants alongside waterways.
That word is riparian?
Riparian. riparian. So that's the land alongside a waterway.
Perfect. Thank you. I didn't know that.
We had someone phone in last week, and they said that for riparian planting to be effective in eliminating runoff from stock into rivers, it needed to be 30 metres either side of the river, and it needed to be dense bush. Which
kind of makes sense as well, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we plant grasses, flaxes, trees. It's not just trees.
Yes.
So the purpose of that is that they're also stabilizing the riverbanks.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not just about sucking up the nutrients. It's also stabilizing riverbanks for erosion. And also they provide shade for the rivers and streams. So it brings the temperature of the water back to, and it provides biodiversity as well. So then other animals come in and they're bringing seeds and dropping seeds into the area, and more,
it's a party.
We get more growth.
Man. How does, if you has, you know, you've got a riparian planting
We're using it everywhere
expedition.
Now. How riparian?
Or what, you know, you've got a team who are going to plant out a stream.
You're taking this right to the riparian.
Where do you
edge.
Get all the plants from?
Yeah, well, that's an issue, actually. We've got plenty of volunteers to plant the plants.
Ironically, there used to be a really nice bush in most places. If only we knew that all this before we started carving up the like, we weren't allowing for that stuff, eh? It was just like, yeah, get more paddock on there.
Yeah, yeah. So we've been working with corrections a lot and building nurseries inside prisons.
Oh, yeah.
Training people in horticulture. We definitely need more nurseries. We need more trees being grown. That's the problem. There's actually access to trees is a real issue.
Mm-hmm.
And then land that you can plant them on. And the farmers are all over it, right? They're retiring land along their river waterways to start cleaning that up.
Perfect. Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Somebody wants to know how we volunteer for Sustainable Coastlines. Sure, from Mars.
Yeah, just go to the sustainablecoastlines.org and go to our events page.
I'm sure, surely there's like different people that can do different things. Imagine if someone's just got heaps of flax bushes on their property right now.
Well, let us know. So we also do, the other way you can help out is that we've got a new program called Litter Intelligence, where we're collecting data on the litter that we're finding on the beaches. We've always collected this data, but it's not been statistically rigorous enough. So we are now working in conjunction with Department of Statistics and DOC, and putting it in all the information into an app. And we're producing New Zealand's first national litter database.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. So you can kind of go, oh, that came from this area potentially, or just like that's one too many Coke cans for one day. Kind of
yeah,
thing.
Well, you can see what's happening on a regional and a local level.
Mm.
And then we're building an education program that will be assimilated into the New Zealand curriculum off the back of that.
Wow.
But then what it does is you can't solve what you don't measure.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can see that problem. on that beach, this is the issue. This one is plastic straws. This one is nurdles, which are the little resin pellets that get shipped around the world and get melted down and produced into plastic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, definitely every beach we go to has a different issue.
Wow.
Takapuna Beach is cigarette butts.
Really?
Yeah, because the residents there are cleaning up the other stuff.
Yeah.
But cigarette butts are a real issue there.
People forget that cigarette butts actually have plastic in them as well, don't they?
I just don't understand why people are still smoking, but that it's such a natural thing just to throw the butt on the ground.
I'm not fussed that people are smoking, but don't smoke at the beach.
Oh, but it's not the beach.
I don't want to see that.
But that's not where it's coming from. It's coming off,
right.
You know, outside the gig, throwing the butt down on the ground, the water washes into the drain.
Mm-hmm.
People aren't littering on our beaches, really. That's not the problem. It's coming off the streets.
They are smoking on the beach, though. I don't like it.
Yeah.
So perhaps all the ciggy butts smoked in the Takapuna shops ending up on the beach.
Yeah, and maybe the restaurants. But I think people down there probably at Takapuna is coming out there. But globally,
Takapuna Beach is a little bit rank these days, to be honest. I'm just going to chuck that out there while we're here.
There's cool stuff that we've found. So we found that in Wellington, the over-indexed on plastic straws on the beaches around there.
Right.
And so we took that data to all of the hospitality along the waterfront there. It's one of the regions in New Zealand that we don't really have bars and restaurants along a lot of our harbours. And they banned plastic straws. And Wagamama, which was one of the restaurants down there, told their global office, and plastic straws were banned globally. So all of a sudden this data is really powerful and the community group who owns that beach will find where, why is that a problem on their beach and find where it's coming from.
Yes.
And it gives them the power to do something.
Oh, amazing. Very, very interesting.
Mm.
Okay. Well, was there anything else that you wanted to point out plastic-wise or sustainable coastlines-wise?
Yeah, well... Yeah, I think, you know, get involved, come along to one of our events. The litter intelligence that we're doing is it's all being collected by community, by citizen scientists. So if someone out there wants to look after a beach, you can sign up your beach and we'll train you on how to do the methodology. And you can be the citizen scientist for the litter intelligence program.
There you go. Get better work stories there.
Awesome.
Thank you very much, Stephanie.
Cool. Thanks for having me on.
Awesome.
That was Sustaining Alive on 95BFM.